Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to Luke chapter 6, Luke 6, verse 17 through the end of the chapter. This is God's Word. He went down with them and stood on a level place. A large crowd of his disciples was there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem, and from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by evil spirits were cured, and the people all tried to touch him because power was coming from him and healing them all. Looking at his disciples, he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when men hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. For that is how their fathers treated the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for that is how their fathers treated the false prophets. But I tell you who hear me, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone strikes you on one cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies. Do good to them and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. He also told them this parable. Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will not both fall into a pit? A student is not above his teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like his teacher. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me take the speck out of your eye," when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First, take the plank out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? I will show you what he is like who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice. He is like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed, and its destruction was complete. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Does some of this sound familiar? A little different than what you've memorized, but still a lot of overlap, a lot of similarity. This is very much like what Matthew records as the Sermon on the Mount. But it's not exactly the same. So did one of them get it wrong? Or do you suppose that Jesus said similar things in various settings to different groups of people? Obviously, the latter. There's no error here. There's no contradiction. If Jesus had said in this account, you who are poor, too bad for you. That's just the way it is. And in Matthew, he says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Then we'd have a problem. But this is Jesus teaching in a context where people had come to hear what he had to say, but also to receive healing and deliverance. Don't overlook the opening verses. The people had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by evil spirits were cured, and the people all tried to touch him because power was coming from him and healing them all. That's fact. That's history. That is the power of God flowing through Jesus. Well, why doesn't God ever do that anymore? Well, actually, God does sometimes do that, even still today. But we don't see very much of it. And I think there are a number of reasons for that, which that's not the focus of the message today. But I want you to realize that the context of this teaching was not that everybody went home with a bag of money. Jesus instead said to them, because many of them were poor, he said, blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. Now, does that mean everybody who is financially poor automatically goes to heaven? No, not at all. But if you read, for instance, the book of James, you find the same basic teaching. And if you look through the scriptures and if you look through church history, if you look at what Paul wrote to the Corinthians, not many among you were wise, powerful, wealthy. Generally, the folks who are most inclined to receive the good news are those who are finding life difficult.
When you look back on your life, who comes to mind as someone who helped you when you struggled? You have the opportunity to be that person for a child in crisis. A growing number of people are committing to leave a gift in their will to organizations who care for children who are searching for healing and hope. Wares Valley Ranch is that place, and the healing and hope are found in Christ. After your family is cared for, would you please consider including a gift in your will to Wares Valley Ranch? When you do, you will become a member of Legacy 145, declaring Yahweh to the next generation. Learn more about Legacy 145 by going to wvr.org and click on the link. Again, the link for Legacy 145 can be found on our website at wvr.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is
and is holding out his... Somehow, in order for us to receive from God, we've got to come to the end of ourselves. We've got to come to the point where we realize it's just not enough. There's nothing that this world has to offer that can satisfy the longing for God that he has placed within us. So Jesus says there's going to be a huge reversal. Those who are poor can look forward to the kingdom. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. You who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when men hate you, when they exclude you, and when they insult you and reject your name as evil because you are a jerk who's involved in all kinds of sin. Is that what it says? No. When they do that because of the Son of Man. If people hate you because you're a follower of Jesus, rejoice, you're blessed. Now, if they hate you because you're just obnoxious, there's no great blessing in that. And you're certainly not blessing others. But Jesus says, rejoice in that day and leap for joy because great is your reward in heaven. That is how their fathers treated the prophets. But woe to you who are rich. What? Woe to you who are rich. That is what it says. Why? You've already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for that is how their fathers treated the false prophets. Is Jesus saying that it's wrong to have money? No. You got to read the rest of what Jesus says elsewhere. It's not wrong to have money. But if that's your identity, if that's your confidence, if that's what you're trusting in, woe to you, because it's not going to last. If your circumstances are very difficult, you need to know that they're temporary. If your circumstances are extremely pleasant, you need to know that they're temporary. Okay? Whether you are rich or poor, it's going to change. I know people who were rich their whole life. They started out rich and they stayed rich their whole life. They're still rich when they died. When they died? They were still rich at that point? Yeah. No. You've heard jokes about the hearse pulling a U-Haul. You know, it just doesn't happen. You cannot take it with you. So invest it in that which is eternal. But Jesus is telling these folks, you need to take the long view. If you're going through difficulty, realize there's great blessing for you if you're trusting in him. If your circumstances are really, really comfortable, take the long view and use what God has entrusted to you for his glory and the good of others. I tell you who hear me, love your enemies. What does it look like to do what we just said? This is it. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you and pray for those who mistreat you. If someone strikes you on one cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone takes your cloak, don't stop him from taking your tunic. That's just bad counsel, Jesus. People have got to learn to look out for themselves. Stand up for number one. Who's number one? We're number one. Is that the way it works? I'm number one. I am the greatest. There are a whole lot of people who have been brought up to think that that's just having a positive self-image. That's having an insane, narcissistic self-image. If you are focused on taking care of yourself, if that's your big goal, you're going to make a mess of things. But if you trust Jesus and seek to do what he says, including being kind to people who aren't kind to you, praying for people who are wicked, not that they'll go to hell, but that they'll repent. If you will do good for others, even loaning to those who you don't expect anything back from, it will reduce your bank account. But if you're doing it out of obedience to God, you will be enriched. If you invest in the spread of the gospel, if you invest in bringing the good news to people who haven't heard, if you invest in providing compassionate care for those who could never pay for it themselves, then God promises that he will reward you, and that reward is eternal. Then Jesus shares the familiar story. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own? Start with your problems that need correction and deal with that. Then you can help others. Then Jesus says, no good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. Sometimes I just preach on that verse. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. You want to be careful what's in your heart, because that's what's going to come out. I carry my wife's coffee up to her each day. And if I should happen to miss a step or something on the way up, I'm liable to spill something. You know what'll come out of the cup if I spill it? Whatever's in it. If it's coffee, coffee's going to come out. If it's tea, tea is going to come out. What happens to you when you get jostled, when you get bumped? What comes out? That's what's inside. Learn to praise God in all circumstances. Fill your heart and your mind with God's word so that that is what will come out when you're being bumped, when you get hit. Then Jesus says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? This is today's main point. There are tons and tons and tons of people who call him Lord who do not serve him. It's always been that way. That is a problem in the church today. It has always been a problem. It was a problem on this day when Jesus was teaching the people. It's one thing to say Jesus is Lord. It's another thing to really believe it. And if you really believe it, you know what will happen? More and more and more, you'll be focused on doing what he says, obeying him. What if he really means what he says about loving your enemies? Do we really have to do that? Well, why should we? Jesus says so. Why would he say that? Because he wants us to be like him. If God didn't love his enemies, we'd all go to hell. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever trusts in him will not be destroyed, but will have everlasting life. The whole reason that we can be saved is because God chose to love his enemies. And if we're going to be like him, we have to do what he says and we have to love our enemies. So I have to like that person? You don't have to like them at all. You have to do love toward them. Do what is best. Do what is kind. It's not easy to be kind to people who aren't kind to you. It's not. It just doesn't feel right. Okay? But it is right. It is right. Well, so I guess I just need to give away all my money and all my favorite things and just, you know, then I'll have a reward in heaven. You need to obey God. If you're trying to do this to earn heaven, you're not going to heaven. If you're trying to do this because you really have believed the good news and you realize that the God who alone has the right to destroy you has chosen instead to bring salvation. If you believe that, then out of gratitude, it's like, what would you want me to do then, Lord? How can I serve you? What would you have me to do? He'll guide and direct you. Don't be afraid that trying to obey God, I'm going to make a mistake. Trying to obey God, you will make mistakes. But God is bigger than that. And he will shepherd you and bring you back where you need to be. Well, what if I really think God has given me a knack for making money and I would really like to make a lot of money because I'd like to use it for the glory of God? I'm not so interested in being rich as I am in being able to help other people who have financial needs. Do what God tells you to do. I have friends who were born into wealth, and because of their wealth financially, they never needed to work a day in their lives. But they did. They worked hard. And they made money. But they used their money to spread the gospel, to reach out in love and compassion toward others. And they lived a modest lifestyle that would never cause anybody to think, wow, I guess they inherited wealth. Or, wow, they must have made a fortune. I have a friend who inherited a fortune that he still hasn't tapped into, and he's my age, okay? But you know what? He's given for the spread of the gospel. And in his career, he was in a field where most people who do what he does for a living drove really fancy cars so they could impress their clients. He drove a Honda Accord. And he said, this car gets me where I need to go, and it's comfortable. You know what else he did as a realtor? He tried to impress on the professional athletes and other wealthy people who were moving to Atlanta. You don't need to buy that $3 million house. I can show you one for just under $1 million that will be very nice, very comfortable, good neighborhood, better commute, and easier to sell when you go to move elsewhere. And more than one client said, you get a percentage of what I spend, right? And he'd say, yes. And they'd say, well, then why would you talk me into a less expensive house? And he'd say, because my job is to take care of you. And you would be better off spending less on a house. That, brothers and sisters, fits beautifully with what Jesus says. You put into practice what he says. You live it out. And when you do that, great is your reward in heaven.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.